Coming up, we learn what a banger is during our review of The Leaky Cauldron. Also, for Halloween Horror Nights fans, we talk about Jack the Clown's return for Halloween Horror Nights 25. All of that and more coming up live from the Bob Varley Studio. This is the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. This is episode 37, the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan your perfect vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, all you people out there in your land of computers or iPhones or Microsoft tablets. Zunes, according to Microsoft. Dustin's life.
Yes.
I know he's a big fan of the Zune still.
I am.
Holding out hope. Hey, everyone. We're here for another one of these go-arounds that we call the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I, of course, am your host, Craig Williams, and I am joined along with some other fools in the room, including Rhino Clavin.
The biggest fool.
The biggest fool of all, but that's fine. Another fool, well, not so much a fool. She's wise beyond her years, and
I'm pretty cute.
And okay, well, that's your opinion. No, I'm
She's no Taylor Swift.
Burn.
That's an inside joke. I didn't mean that in a mean way.
I don't know what was worse, the fact that I said my statement or then you compared to another person, but
JL does not.
Yeah, hey, everyone.
She's here with us.
She doesn't think highly of Taylor Swift. That's why it was a joke. I wasn't being mean.
Just kidding. I love you both. Like, I...
Continuing.
Yeah, I'm just going to move on.
I'll come back to that metaphor later. Or simile, I guess it would be a simile. And then I'm back on the controls, as always, producer. And I'm sure a lot more could be said about him, but Dustin West.
You know, I just really like the size of the screen of the Zune. You can't beat that with a stick, honestly.
And so, you can share your Zune tunes with other Zune owners.
That's right.
Now, exactly. Do you actually still have a Zune?
No, I've actually given it to my friend. God knows what he did to it. After I got my first iPod Classic, I gave it away. But you can't beat the... Look... To be able to get videos downloaded to your device from the Zune software, it's amazing. The quality of those videos is outrageous.
I know. I mean, 2008 is sure looking to be a good year right now.
I know. I'm especially loving the new Paramore album. You know, it's great. It's great for the Zune.
I hear that Obama's got a chance for presidency.
Okay. Anyway. Well, okay.
Where did it go wrong?
Yeah, it all just went wrong somewhere.
A screeching halt. Okay.
But thank you all for joining us. We, of course, are going to be doing one of the best reviews of Leaky Cauldron I think is ever going to be out there. That's definitely a high opinion on my point, but we might be wrong. We'll see how it goes. Only our second dining review for the show. It's been a while since the first one, our first episode back after a brief break, and we did the Cowfish, which was...
That was January.
That was a good one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, big favorites of ours.
Well, good food, and then that was also a very good episode, if I do say so myself. It was... We came together, and we did something.
Yeah.
Come together.
It happens every once in a while.
Yeah, sometimes better than others, but that one particularly stood out, probably because we still all liked each other at that point. We're getting on here things are getting a little tense.
It was early.
But before we get into that, and I'm not even going to do any housekeeping or anything like that right now, the big Jesus, stop hitting the table. And I don't mean Jesus, I mean Rhino. Stop hitting the table. You're freaking ridiculous. You have one job.
No,
don't
table.
Hit the
not
table.
Not hit the table.
Scoot back.
So every person that was just listening now and their ears popped, it's because you hit the table. So can I get on with the important news?
Get
of the
on
day?
With it, Craig.
Well, it's the important news of the day because we're recording this on, I guess, Tuesday it would be. And it's going to be released on Thursday like normal. But at about 11 o'clock a.m. today on Tuesday, a couple days ago now, whenever you're listening to this or watching it, Halloween Horror Nights finally put out a huge announcement. I'm looking all around. It's crazy. So, for people who have been behind a box or a door or
cupboard. For all those you box hiders out there, you might have missed out on this one. Get up from behind the old refrigerator box.
Well, definitely not a window. You can see straight through a window. So anything with...
opaque and beyond.
Yeah, anything that definitely you can't see through. If you were behind something where you can't see through and you lost track of the world.
Yeah.
Horror Nights announced that legendary icon of the event, Jack the Clown, otherwise known as Jack Schmidt.
Oh, God.
I feel like we should have eerie music playing right now.
No, there's been subliminal messages being pumped through.
Oh.
For those of you watchers out there, enjoy this.
For the listeners, you have no idea what's going on now. You're probably about to hit stop and delete, and you'll tune back into us next week. But, yeah, so icon Jack Schmidt, Jack the Clown, is coming back for Halloween Horror Nights 25.
Is his name Schmidt? Jack Schmidt?
That is his...
That's disturbing.
Obviously.
Original name.
God, yeah. I just hate looking at the pictures of him.
He's so creepy.
He is so creepy. Yeah. And we're going to kind of go over a little bit about it, but I believe last week, maybe Thursday or Friday or Saturday, the Horror Nights official Twitter Twitter handle announced that they would be making announcement on May 19th. That was today.
Oh, I thought it was if they got to the 25,000, 25 for 25, wasn't it?
No.
I didn't know if that was just a separate
thing. They said the announcement was coming on May 19th. And later they went on to say, well, you know, if we could get 25,000 by Tuesday for this announcement, it would be even better. But people kind of took it as if we don't get 25,000, then they're not going to make this announcement. So then all of a sudden, you've got all this support going out for Horror Nights. Which is actually amazing.
Cool.
They did reach their goal. So bravo to them for getting that many. We're only 24,000 away from our Diz Universal Twitter.
There you go.
From getting that same mark. So,
nice. So we're coming for you.
Yeah, we're coming for you in at least 6 to 12 years, I'm going to assume. I don't know how the Twitter market works. But the announcement comes after a couple days of building up suspension. There was some
like
Twitter... What's that?
I'm sorry. It was a stupid joke. I didn't mean to derail you.
Well, there's some clues and stuff that were kind of released over the weekend, too. Just with, I mean, like popcorn buckets that were ripped apart with random words and phrases mixed all over. And after three pictures, people finally put together that there was a Bitly link that ended up leading to the new page for Halloween Horror Nights. That was at like halloweenhorrornights.com/Orlando/maniacs, and that was just showing a blank long hallway. And for those watching, not the ones listening, Dustin, if you could put up the picture of Jack standing in the hallway, that was kind of the first glimpse people got of it, but without Jack. And then today they released a video of him actually coming down the hallway looking just scary as all get out.
Yeah.
And it definitely has set a tone now for what Halloween Horror Nights is going to be this year.
I know. I'm so excited. Sorry. I just got really excited.
Yeah, and I, as I've said before, I'm not a...
Oh, you scared the germs right out of me.
Fantastic. I'm not huge in my knowledge of past Halloween Horror Nights, only from what I know from the years I've been there and reading back. So... one of the things I know is that he is a big deal. I mean, you can still see one of the Jack Schmidt like characters inside the horror makeup show pre-show area. So he's a part of Universal on an everyday basis, but he is pretty much the icon of Halloween Horror Nights. Kind of changed the whole genre from what I understand. Before it was, you know, just random Halloween scariness stuff all around. But then whenever they started making an icon out of him, that's how they started doing it for other characters, too. And, you know, now we're coming up to 25 years of this, and it's going to be more epic than ever, because also with the launch of their new website today, we found out that there will, in fact, be 9 houses, which mm-hmm. usually there's 8, so more than ever before. Which on our episode where we kind of talked about the house rumors, we did in fact talk about 9 different ones. So maybe those other sites that kind of led us onto that were right.
And we talked about Jack being a rumor, too, to come back during that episode, too, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, we definitely talked about that.
Yeah.
And then also, we'll have 5 scare zones with more scare actors than ever before, according to Michael Aiello today on Twitter. Michael is the creative director of Universal Entertainment at Orlando, so he would know best. And there will be 2 shows this year, so I'm guessing that it's going to be Bill and Ted returning, as always, along with maybe Rocky Horror again. It would be nice if they would...
specify?
I would like to see something different. Rocky Horror's been here now for the past 2-3 years, and it would be nice for another change.
What was it? I just assumed that had always been here. What was it before that? Do you know? Do you
before remember? There was a freak show type thing.
Oh. Well, I like the idea of Rocky Horror, but I mean, I understand, like, they do Rocky Horror at the movie theater outside at City Walk, so it's not like if it leaves Halloween Horror Nights, it's still going to be very present in the Universal area.
It's completely different, though. I do enjoy seeing it at Halloween Horror Nights. I always make it a staple that I need to do it at least once the entire event, but I also like seeing new things over and over again.
I agree,
and the show's just the same. It would be nice if that was like an every other year rotating type thing.
Or they did it on the anniversary years of the movie or something like that. Because I thought that's why they had originally... I was thinking when I had heard about it, I was like, well, that makes sense. It's like the 25-year anniversary. Or I think it would have been 30 at this point. But
it's an old movie.
Nine I'll find houses that out in a second.
I was
lot.
In that, by the way.
Too. I would think that, you know, with that many houses, that's really kind of... It's almost making it a necessity to either have a frequent fear pass or doing one of those special tours that gets you into everything in one night.
30 years this year. Sorry. 1975.
Yeah. Well, it's...
That would be 40 years also. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wasn't going to point it out, but...
Good job.
You're good. You pulled back from it, so that's what's important. we do have extra nights this year. We talked about that a couple months ago, that they extended it to 30 days instead of the normal 27 or 28. But I would even go a step further. Instead of buying an express pass on the night you're going, or, you know, doing a VIP tour, it might just be important to get
the frequent fear pass. Right.
Did you already say that?
I did say that.
Yeah, that's
was not
really
listening
just
to you.
Your conversation.
I really apologize.
I'm not cute enough and you don't listen to me. This isn't going well.
Okay. No.
Sounds like a fifth grade crush. Am I right?
Whoa. Circle that maybe box.
Do we have a fine transition right now? No.
No.
Okay, well, that's fine. I apologize for not listening clearly enough. I've got a lot of stuff going in my head about what I'm actually going to say next.
What are you going to say next?
I was just going to say, going back around to the Jack thing, because for huge, huge, huge Horror Nights fans, this is such a big deal. Mm. For the average person, including basically us, we have no idea what to think. And then there's the people who do it just because it's an event in Orlando and they want to try something different. They probably won't give two craps about this, which, you know, that's their right. I'm very excited to get familiar with the character because he's also going to be a little different this year. Michael Aiello did say, "For fans who know his tale, you'll notice he has escaped the shadow of Oddfellow completely. He has shed his old coat for something of his own design. His face is more weathered, more lived in. Jack has come onto his own." Into his own, that makes more sense. And he is eager to preside over the spectacle of it all, especially if that spectacle is filled with screams, blood, and gore. He most certainly wouldn't have it any other way.
Yikes.
God, I hate clowns. Yeah.
But that's all
a ghost. That's not a clown. What about this thing? I was going to ask you earlier. He had also tweeted, "Become Jack's Maniacs."
Yeah, that's kind of the hashtag going on right now. Jack's Maniacs.
Just for people that are like into it, or is this like a thing? Like, or is this they want people to audition and that's what they call them, or it's just like that's the Halloween Horror Nights?
Like, people, what do you mean audition?
Well, are they? Is that a call for characters, or what do they call them?
Characters.
No.
Characters.
Like, so it's just like people that are excited about it.
You see, hashtags
fans
are this
Jack.
Fun thing on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram that you can pull in all posts using a hashtag.
I thought that was the number sign.
That way
sign.
It's all collected. Well, back in the day, it was the number sign. Now it's hashtag. So Halloween Horror Nights coming up quicker than we can expect. Still no official stance on what the houses will be or anything, but... We've got an icon returning, and I know I'm just
Exciting.
Extremely
times.
Excited.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be, when we go to cover this, which I assume we will, it's going to not be pretty.
I'm so stoked.
I don't even know. I'm already nervous. I'm sorry. In a good way.
Fantastic. I was going to say something else too.
And then he interrupted you.
Was it about
and then
you interrupted me?
I mean, it was
I'm familiar.
Now, I already kind of said some of it too with Jack. This is his first time back since 2010. So 5 years has been a long, long while. And now
it's been a while.
It's been a while.
I love that nostalgia stuff.
I like nostalgia too. But that kind of has to do it for that announcement. Great announcement, but I mean, we didn't know that we were going to be talking about this today. Well, we kind of knew, but we didn't really know if it was going to end up happening. But we did come here for a specific reason, and that was to talk to you about the Leaky Cauldron. Yes, the Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Potentially only Leaky Cauldron, I think, really. Not with a "the" in front of it. But for those of you who don't know, Leaky Cauldron is a quick service restaurant inside Universal Studios Florida. To be a little bit more precise, it's inside Diagon Alley.
Did you say diagonally?
Diagon Alley. Listen to me speak.
That was a movie reference. If you had been in a chimney, you would have ended up in the bad area.
Absolutely, that actually might happen. So, despite in Harry Potter lore, the entrance of the Leaky Cauldron being inside London, and you have to know the right door.
Oh, I did not remember that.
You didn't remember that?
Yeah.
No.
So, it's actually kind of built in. I didn't have a picture of it that will be in the show notes. I might be able to get one there before I put up the show notes and all that. But for the people who are watching right now and not listening, that doesn't really help you either, so I digress. If you're in the London area walking through, you'll actually notice the Leaky Cauldron sign hanging up because it's just like in the movies. Whenever you're looking, that's not the sign
I was specifically referencing. The Diagon Alley one, but
that's not the one I was referencing because I don't have a picture of that one to show anyone right now. But as you're walking through London, you'll see a sign hanging up that looks blank. And as you get closer to it and hit the right angle, all of a sudden, you'll see Leaky Cauldron appear onto it.
Oh, that's really cool. I haven't noticed that, and I've been there like a million times, so that's really cool.
And now with the effect actually in the sun, it's starting to fade it, so you can see it from more angles than before. Like on opening day, you had to literally be standing in a specific place to see it well. And that was it was a neat effect, and I hope they can kind of refurb it. Yeah, to its former glory. So normally, you'd enter Leaky Cauldron from London. That's not the case at Diagon Alley in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. You have to enter from inside Diagon Alley itself, which isn't a problem. And it's basically the first thing you see as soon as you walk into Diagon Alley on the left there. It looks like brick walls and stuff from the outside. You can't miss it because you'll have people standing out holding menus. And, well, there's also signs that say Leaky Cauldron.
I was just
going
to say, it has a sign. It's written on it. It says the Leaky Cauldron, and it's a little archway.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's not hard to find by any means. So, of course, some things being said, you need to have theme park admission to even get in there. I don't know. Maybe that's being a little too generous with the descriptions we're giving about this place, but you do need to have a theme park admission to get in there and actually dine at this place. So Leaky Cauldron, what's it actually about? Well, it's actually from the book series and the movie series of Harry Potter.
Yes.
Reason that it's in Diagon Alley.
Yeah, exactly. It is how Harry goes. Leaky Cauldron is there, and it is a passageway into Diagon Alley. So everyone knows the famous brick scene of Rubius Hagrid touching the bricks and opening up the passageway. You get to there through Leaky Cauldron, and it's got some shady folks in there.
Oh yeah,
you got some.
That's technically where Harry meets he who should not be named the first time without knowing.
Yeah,
because he was riding backseat in somebody's turban.
And you also.
I don't want to spoil anything for anybody who hasn't gotten there yet, but if you haven't, you're an idiot.
That was awesome on so many levels. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Okay.
So before we get into the food and all that, Leaky Cauldron What an impressive restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Being inside there.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'll say this part later, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's just, I mean, it's broken up into a couple sections, but mainly the big thing is if you walk in through the exit and you first go in, it's just a giant dining hall, almost in a way like the Great Hall is in the Harry Potter series, just having a nice big open way with giant vaulted cathedral ceilings. And I mean, it's just so impressive in there. During the opening, whenever they would talk about it, that was the biggest thing they would bring up over and over again, the scale of the restaurant. It is just massive.
I'm in the opening day picture from the official Universal Twitter feed. They took a picture of me and my friends who were there for opening day, and I'm this guy. I'm there. It was a real good picture.
If you hit the table one more time, one more time.
Anyway, it's very cool. It's very big.
Yeah, send it to me and I'll try to put it in the show notes if I care. Some places it's really well lit. Other places, not specifically so the side seating areas, it is just extremely dark. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing. I guess I just see well in dark places.
Like so, you have like night vision.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I mean,
like it's a Crookshanks.
You've got some windows in there to help brighten it up a little bit. I see well in dark places, so I never have that problem where it's too dark to eat my food. But I could understand a million times over if you're eating on the side seating areas of Leaky Cauldron, it could be really difficult. Yeah. So you'd want to request to sit there, because one thing about Leaky Cauldron is you don't get to decide where you sit just because of, I mean, maybe it's slow times they do it, but anytime I've ever been there, as soon as you put your order in for your quick service food, then it's similar to Be Our Guest in that over at Disney, they think they basically set the trend is that they'll give you a nice little themed device that lets everyone know where your table is. In the case of Leaky Cauldron, they'll give you a candlestick and you hand over your candlestick to the person that will walk you to the seating area. They give you your seat, and then later on your food will arrive nice, hot, and fresh as quickly as it can come out.
Our food came out really fast when we did this
really,
review.
Really like, fast.
It did.
Yeah.
One of the most important things about Leaky Cauldron itself, though, is the theming inside. Already mentioned the scale, the scope of it is incredible, but the theming, I mean, first off, they have the actual Leaky Cauldron.
Yeah.
There's nothing in it to prove that it leaks, but there is a giant gash in the side of it, similar to the Liberty Bell, that would pretty much assume that it's going to leak.
It would suggest that it would leak.
And then just looking around, there's other little bits and pieces. All the pictures hanging up on the walls are, you know, kind of the old-fashioned witchy looking.
Yeah, I love those photos.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. It almost has
they got that. They've got that moving. Don't forget the
Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah,
they have the Sirius Black moving almost called picture Uncle Sirius, in there. But all the photos up above the seating areas, I love those because it's so reminiscent to me of those kind of like old creepy 1930s, 1940s Halloween.
Oh yeah, totally.
Advertisements with witches and stuff on it, and they just even stuff is on hanging on the walls that has like writing from the owners of the Leaky Cauldron saying. Well,
you know what I always loved is like they have those little tucked away areas. Like I'm assuming like it's a cast member or team member only area, but it'll be like at Three Broomsticks, they had
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was on the Wi-Fi.
I thought there was something wrong. I'm sorry. But, you know, like, you could, if your back is to the Leaky Cauldron and you look to your right, there's, like, a set of stairs, and then, like, there's a ledge, and there's what up there that looks like a bulletin board or something, and it's got papers and everything attached to it. But it just gives me that vibe that there's a whole nother cool area of this restaurant. Like, it keeps going. It's not like we're in just that one little place, you know?
I think one of the things that's really cool about it is, you know, Diagon Alley's a fairly new place, and yet the feel of this, it feels like it's been there forever. It feels old, like as it's supposed to. It's kind of cool. Okay, apparently.
No, I agree. No, it's beautiful, and it's a nice sister restaurant to Three Broomsticks over in Hogsmeade. Obviously, they needed a restaurant to come into Diagon Alley to have that same level of service and quality of food, and it had to be Leaky Cauldron because basically that's the one recognizable thing in terms of eating at Diagon Alley. So it's a perfect fit. And one of the things I like about it, now getting into the food, is Leaky Cauldron, don't look at it the same way as Three Broomsticks if you've ever eaten at Three Broomsticks before. That is a lot of chicken, ribs, fish and chips.
It's not like it's safe food. It's nice, like, and I don't mean that in a bad way, because these two places are my favorite two places to eat in either park. But it's like safe. It's like what you said. It's the chicken. It's the ribs. They've got the fish and chips. But there's no like. They wanted to make sure that people were still going to eat there, I guess, and not
You're
take
saying
too
that
many
the,
chances.
The food
with
options
the food.
Aren't risky food options.
Yeah,
yeah. It's
you're going to like it.
Over at Three Broomsticks, it's definitely more of a blend of American appeal and then also throwing in a little bit of that British flavor to it with the fish and chips and pies and all that stuff.
Yeah, they got the shepherd's pie there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but then Leaky Cauldron, they didn't really want to screw around with that mix of American and British. They just went
British.
Full force. And yeah, they went with a strong British menu. Some of the things you'll find on there include fish and chips, bangers and mash, toad in the hole, the beef, lamb, and Guinness stew, other different types of pies, including cottage pie, fisherman's pie, and, you know, just a lot. It is a British only menu. So
I love that about it too, though. Like, it was an immediate draw for me because it adds to authenticity. Like, it pulls me in more, you know, even more so.
Yeah, and there's just some staples like fish and chips. You
can get that, you know, any British themed pub that you go to anywhere, you know,
you can. However, I don't go to many British themed pubs. I mean, in Florida, you have basically, I know if you go over to 192 and you go to some of those dangerous little hangouts and stuff.
Well, you know,
it's different. Hound.
Where there's a knife fight.
Or if you have one of the, I forget what they're called, but there's a chain of like Clotta restaurants or something in bigger cities. But in terms of Florida, if you're looking for this type of affair, you basically have Leaky Cauldron, Three Broomsticks, Finnegan's. And then over at Epcot, you have Rose and Crown.
There is a place on iDrive, too, that's a, like, it's a...
Again, we're talking about in theme parks.
Yeah.
And
like, I'm sorry. It's because you said Epcot. I thought we left after we said
No,
Epcot.
I'm just saying in general. Like,
she
I don't,
talks about iDrive on the trip. Guys.
Yeah, but I don't like going to places where you have a better chance of getting rabies. And so that's why I avoid 192 in iDrive.
Of course.
At as many costs as possible. It's nothing against the people that are down there. Boy. Just rabies. You can't come back from that.
Yeah, you can't.
No.
Ask Elaine Bennis.
Okay.
So, the food is very heavily British, and that's a good thing, in my opinion. It's authenticity. Arguable. But from some of the Brits I've ever spoke to about it, they say it's not that bad. Anyone else have
good.
People they know?
I would agree British with person. The Brits that you've spoken with.
What's that?
I said I would agree with the Brits that you've spoken with.
Well, having been to, you know, the United Kingdom myself,
yeah.
I mean, I've been to plenty of pubs. I mean, this is like, you know, when you go to like gourmet restaurants and stuff like that, you're not going to find this stuff. This is, you know, this is pub food or comfort food. It doesn't necessarily have to be in a pub, but this is, you know, this is like traditional comfort food. And,
yeah.
and it is, you know, I think the quality is a little bit different, but it is in the way that it tastes and it's prepared. You know, I think it is authentic. I think it is, from my perspective anyway, I think they do a good job at filling out the menu from with exactly what you'd expect. And I guess I'd probably have to be a native of the United Kingdom to really be able to judge the quality. But it is a wide offering of those types of foods.
Yeah, good point. And I guess I should say, too, for this review, Dustin was not there with us.
No.
It ended up being the last thing that we needed to throw together so we could do this before I had to leave for California, which is where I currently am at whenever this is released.
Yeah.
But we've all eaten there now multiple times.
Yeah.
For different types of meals. So this one is kind of a throwaway one for the most part, but still a very important one because in terms of quick service, it's one of the few that we can actually really recommend at this point.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, this is my go-to. If I'm eating at Universal Studios, it's either in there or The Simpsons. So
yeah.
It's like,
yeah, agreed.
So are we ready to actually start talking about
I'm going to get real hungry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to get real hungry.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with beverages because that's the first thing that we started with. And I believe in terms of helping out with pictures and organization for the video version of the show, I have myself, then Rhino, then JL in terms of everything we had, starting with drinks and then food and
excellent
desserts and all that stuff. So we'll start with my drink. I ordered one of the new specialty beverages that came out with the Wizarding World of Harry Potter Diagon Alley, and I got the Fishy Green Ale. And the Fishy Green Ale, what to say about the Fishy Green Ale?
It seems fishy.
Green. It's kind of in a way. The Fishy Green Ale is a mint lime non-alcoholic beverage. Also, definitely a bit of watered downness to it. If they put any sugar in it, I would say it's an artificial kind because it leaves me with that same taste that I have whenever I drink a Diet Coke or diet flavor. Which sometimes I'm okay with. In this case, I am because one of the other aspects of the drink, it has boba balls down at the bottom.
Or tapioca ones.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, whenever the balls come up through the straw, and well, just for parents out there, close your kids' ears right now. They probably shouldn't be listening to this, but whenever the balls then burst in your mouth and give you that. That juiciness
dirty,
to it. it helps balance out that diety taste that the drink has. I remember having this on the media event and it disgusted me. So I wanted to try it again after a year of not having it. And
when your expectations were set.
Yeah,
I gotta say, I actually enjoyed it this time around.
She's acquired the taste.
The four specialty drinks are Fishy Green Ale, the Peach Tree Fizzing Tea, the Tongue Tying Lemon Squash, and then the Otter's Fizzy Orange, which we're going to get Rhino's opinion on in just a second from now. Those are the four new drinks along with the Fishy Green Ale. And I would definitely not recommend Fishy Green Ale first out of any of those. It's still my least favorite one of them. But if you really want to try it, go ahead. It's worth a shot.
It's something unique. It's something different. I don't really know. It's kind of out of left field to me. I wish it was frozen. Because when I get a boba tea, I like it to be the slush one. So I'm waiting for them to make this a slush version.
And I'm assuming that the tapioca balls at the bottom are supposed to represent caviar or something along those lines.
Yeah. And fish eggs. Okay. Fishy Green Ale.
Never been a fan of the boba stuff.
I like it whenever they burst in my mouth. Nope. So, Rhino, I believe you did have the Otter's Fizzy Orange Juice, huh?
I did. This is my favorite drink over there, I think. You know, butterbeer aside, obviously, gang. This is it's... do you have the description or am I just reading?
It's basically fizzy orange juice.
But the best part is they do a little cinnamon sugar
rim.
I want to say that's honey or something like that. I don't know what they get the cinnamon sugar on there with, but it's really good. It's very refreshing. It's a nice flavor that you wouldn't think cinnamon and orange juice. I was kind of like, ugh, what's
you want to say it's honey? Or could it be caramel, like I know they do with some pumpkin beers?
Okay, I want to say that's probably what it is.
It's probably caramel.
Yeah, because it definitely gave me that same idea. Like they do it on a shipyard pumpkin ale or something like that. And I love that. I think that's just a nice little flavor, a nice little hint of a flavor in a drink there. And this one, I've got to say, is one of my favorites. It's not overly powering, strong, or anything like that. It's light, refreshing, and I like the fizz. Yeah, that's what I have to say about that.
And then JL, you went old school style, and you got frozen butterbeer.
Old school it was. It was a hot day. I was sweating a lot, and I like slushy drinks. So I got the old school frozen butterbeer, still as good as it has always been.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with the butterbeer. You have the choice of frozen or cold or now warm.
Now you can get it hot in the colder months.
Yeah. Well, I think they're doing it all year round.
Oh, but I wouldn't.
It'd be a little weird having it.
Yeah,
they were still serving it while we were there, and
I feel like that would be a mistake for someone to order it at this time of the year, but
it's good. I love it though. The hot butter beer. Some people it's not for them, but I had it on like our last cold day that we had.
Yeah, it's awesome on cold days.
Some people don't like drinking coffee, so if they still want that like morning wake up and they don't drink coffee or tea, they'll drink hot chocolate.
I would understand it
from that aspect. They like their warm beverage to help them wake up.
It loosens the throat.
Yes, like Folgers in your cup.
Folgers. Is that their catch line? It loosens the throat, Folgers in your cup.
Folgers, not a sponsor of the diss, but
a damn fine cup of coffee.
Okay. So then also before, well, technically we would want it as an appetizer, not an entree, but we also, along with our food, decided to do a side order of the Scotch egg.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you out there who don't know what a Scotch egg is, it is basically a hard-boiled egg wrapped in sausage and then deep-fried. Yes. In this context, too, I've had it where it's just been the sausage deep-fried, and it'll come out with this. This is also then breaded and then deep-fried, and it was served with a nice spicy brown mustard dressing. And then
horseradishy or something.
Yeah, there was definitely a good amount of spice to it.
It was intense.
And then that weird beet or cranberry. We still don't know what the heck it is.
I thought it was cranberry. The first time I had it, I thought it was cranberry because I remember really enjoying it. But then I had it this time, and I couldn't really get a flavor from it. So you said beets, and that's what I was thinking.
My question when you're deciding between beets and cranberry, is it delicious or is it beets?
Yeah, I hate beets. It's my least favorite
vegetable. I don't mind beets. It definitely had a tartness to it that would still lead me to think that there was some type of cranberry-ness in it. But either way, it was a nice little garnish.
It was. Yeah, we should preface this too, saying that you didn't know because it's not listed anywhere. But I told Craig that you could get a side of a Scotch egg. Like they don't have that. Somebody had told me that once. One of the witches there had told me that, and it's great because like if that's not the meal you want, that Scotch egg meal, you can still try that because that thing looks really good in the display window.
So not on the menu, but available upon request.
Exactly. You can get the Scotch egg in the Plowman's platter, which also has three kinds of cheeses, some fresh bread, pickles, chutney, bunch of other crap all put together on a platter. Scotch eggs, they are one of my favorite unhealthy foods.
Oh, yeah.
God, they're so good.
You can't go wrong with eggs, sausage, and deep frying anything.
And they did it well here.
I would absolutely, especially for that side. I mean, it's one of them cut in half, but we shared it between three people just so we could have a little taste.
Yeah.
It was only $3. So not bad at all. A nice little snack. I would actually go in and just order two of them.
Yeah,
and
I was gonna say.
But heads up, that sauce is really, really intense. I actually preferred to just have the egg without the sauce because the sauce was so spicy to me. That was too much of a
loved that sauce
kick for me.
I even when we get to my food, I'm going to talk about that sauce again.
And we will get to your food very shortly. But before we get to your food, we're going to get to my food first. And I had one of their signature dishes. Well, whenever you have one small menu, they're all signature dishes. But I had the beef, lamb, and Guinness stew, which is, it's a mixture of beef and lamb. And it's in a Guinness gravy stew type mix served inside of a bread bowl.
What is this, Panera?
I did not taste that, but I thought that you had the winner of the group. I mean, your meal looked incredible.
Yeah, I gotta say,
I had food jealousy looking at what you were eating.
I know I keep harking back onto the times I've been there before, but that's also important to this review to see how it's come along since it's been open. Harping.
With a P. Harping means I'm remembering old times. Harping back.
Okay, well.
I think that's hearkening back. Not harping. When you harp on something.
Let's pull up the dictionary, guys.
Guys, I don't care. Hold on. I'm talking about the food. I got bangers on my mind.
Siri. Hold on. How can I help you this
afternoon? He's got a boy, Siri.
What is the definition of harpening?
Harpening is not a word.
It's going to give you a sassy answer.
Let's see.
It says harpooning.
Two definitions of harpooning.
Yeah.
A spear with a shaft and barbed point for throwing. Used for catching large fish or whales.
Or your memory.
Is attached to.
What is the definition of hearkening?
Let me think. The definition of hearkening is listen, used mostly in the imperative.
Huh. So
like, hark the herald angels sing.
We still
don't know.
We still don't know, so I'm just not going to use it anymore.
I know. You guys don't know. Harp, when you harp back, that means you're reminiscing or you're talking about things with that has a P in it.
Well, I come from a simple upbringing. Yeah, I don't need these $10 words.
Siri's confused, so I'm looking back at my past experiences at Leaky Cauldron to really do this. The first and last time I actually ate the beef lamb and Guinness stew, it was served buffet style because it was during a media event and I was not impressed with it. And that's why I haven't gotten it since. And then I went for it just because it seemed like it's what I wanted. And oh yeah, it was what I wanted. You could taste all those flavors coming from the beef and lamb, and they're just so succulent. Fell apart in your mouth.
Wonderful combination.
Oh, excellent combination. And there was a little bit of fat on the beef, but I can look past that because it's stew beef. You're going to expect it to be fatty. And it had little bits of carrots and potatoes in there that just added that nice little crunch. Served with a side salad and a tomato in your choice of either blue cheese, ranch, or Italian dressing. If I could give one bit of advice to Universal, I would say get rid of the salad that comes with it, make it a bigger bowl and more stew, and you've got an absolute winner. That would be the one thing I would eat every time from now on.
It looks hearty. It looks like something you'll get. And well, now you're saying you'd say make the portion a little bit larger. But even looking at that, I was thinking like that's good. That's going to fill you up. You're not going to feel like I ate this and like I got the wrong thing.
I didn't feel like I was full after eating it until I started eating like the puff pastry bread. Then I started to get really full. So that's why I didn't finish it all just because it was starting to get to be too much.
Yeah.
But if you eat the bread and the stew itself with your salad, you will definitely be full. It's a lot of food right there. So I would highly recommend the beef, lamb, and Guinness stew. Rhino, you had the toad in the hole.
Yeah, this is the first time I had this there too, because I've been trying to, every time I go to get something different, I usually hearken back to whatever my favorite. But I liked the meal. It was there's the picture. It's basically two of their banger sausages, like baked into a pastry. And then that comes with like a side of veggies and all served atop some peas, with like one of those tomato situations and
tomato situations.
I want to say
like a really bad like Matt Damon film.
Tomato situations coming this fall. I want to say it's on top of caramelized onions.
Yeah.
Or is that sauerkraut? I think that's sauerkraut.
I didn't eat it. So.
I have a really bad, not a bad palate, but I sometimes have.
No, it's something stuff. Different. It's not caramelized onions. It's some British thing that comes with a bunch of different. I can't remember what it's called, but it comes with like bangers and mash and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah.
I usually push it to the side because it kind of has a sour flavor to it.
Yeah. So it is probably some type of sauerkraut type cabbage.
It is a cabbage.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. So now I'm not off. Like I couldn't distinguish what it was, but overall I thought it was really good. But for me, I like stuff with I like spicy stuff, so what I found myself doing is like I would cut a piece because it's just the banger in the pastry, so there's nothing. It seemed a little weird to me. You know, if you were in America, that thing would be stuffed full of cheese or, you know, something else incredibly unhealthy. But, you know, so I would take a piece and then dip it in the sauce that came with a Scotch egg. And like that, it was amazing. Yep. And so I think like if they just added a little scoop of that on the side, that dish would be a home run for me.
That's a good point. And I'm sure you could even ask for it. And it was it filling, though? Because it's also the cheapest thing you can order on the menu, and that comes in at $8.99.
I didn't actually, now that you're saying that, I didn't really think of it as any like I was getting less than you guys or any of the other things I've eaten there before, because it's still two of the sausage links. Yeah. Two bangers and the bread, so I equivalent, like it was probably the same, sorry that was a terrible word, but it was probably the equivalent of the banger sub, I would think, just maybe a little less bread, but I found it filling. I really liked the veggies on the side. I think I had a potato that wasn't cooked all the way through. It tasted like
crunchy,
a carrot.
Crunchy crunchy potato.
Ugh. But I'll, you know, that was, it was just that one and whatever, but I don't know. This is another thing I really enjoy about this restaurant. I love that vegetables are the side. Like you know, I love that there are dishes that come with that stuff. So it was a meal that I felt like it didn't weigh me down when I was still about to go back into the theme park. So.
Not completely unhealthy.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But then we have JL, who, as Pete will often describe, is the worst vegetarian ever. Well, JL decided to order basically the most unhealthiest dish that they offer. And that, of course, is the banger-style sandwich.
Yes.
Served with wedge fries.
Yes. Okay, so here's the thing. First of all, I'm not a vegetarian. I just have vegetarian tendencies, vegan tendencies, where I prefer to eat that way, but I do not eat that way 100% of the time. I went into the Leaky Cauldron. Their vegan option was split pea soup and salad, and there was no way in the world I was going to even attempt that. I can hardly stomach split pea soup, homemade out of the kitchen. You know,
that's
grandma
my
makes
favorite soup. Well, I hate soups. Okay. That's the only one I'll eat.
Oh, well, you should have gotten the split pea soup. I'm not a split pea soup person, and there was no way in the world I was even going to think about trying theme park split pea soup. So, banger sandwich it was, and that was a, you know, sausage. This is what they call them in the UK, I guess.
Yes.
They call them bangers. And came with
sausage in the mouth. That's what they call them here in the US.
Oh, dear.
That was a Arrested Development reference. I'm sorry.
I am aware. I hate it.
Okay, so then it had a sauerkraut on it, and it was drizzled with this spicy mustard thing.
Is it the same stuff that was on the scotch egg?
It's a different
spicy. It was different, and then it had a tomato thrown in there. And. Yeah. I
love those damn tomatoes.
It seemed to be like a ground mustard.
Yes.
Like it came from the ground?
Well, no. You know, the kind that are hand ground, so they have a little bit more texture, a little bit of spice to them?
Yeah. It was
okay.
It was in the Dijon mustard family.
Okay. Mm.
So, anyway, it was good. There was lots of it. It was a large size sandwich. And
one tomato.
And one tomato. So here's the thing. Sometimes I like tomatoes, sometimes I don't. I thought that the tomato in this sandwich was actually a good choice because there was a lot of flavor and a bit of a kick to this sandwich, and I felt like the tomato balanced that out a bit. So, the bread was great. It was fresh. Good. I appreciated it. And I really liked the wedge potato fry things as well, because they tasted less like fries and more like potatoes.
They look good.
They were pretty good. Those were the first things to leave my plate.
I think that's my other favorite. That's usually like my kind of go-to thing there.
My go-to thing is actually just the bangers and mash.
Yes, you
can't beat it. Two bangers on potatoes.
Gravy.
It's so good.
So simple, so delicious.
And I mean, the pies, that's not putting anything past them. The cottage and the fishermen's.
I haven't had that yet.
So both excellent. I mean, so did you put any ketchup by any chance on your wedge style fries?
I did. I did put ketchup on my wedge fries.
The only reason I bring that up is because I wanted to talk about the other options you have for sitting down at the table. So you do have an array of condiments that you can use, including ketchup, mustard, a little bit of the HP steak sauce that they
Harry
have.
Potter.
It's HP sauce.
HP sauce. Malt vinegar. And then that's also where you'll find your napkins, your salt, your pepper, and then your plastic utensils for your meal. So for people who hate eating, I don't want to say fancier, but a little bit more up-class things with plastic utensils, I feel bad.
Right.
Because like eating, anytime I'm eating the bangers and mash, you do kind of feel weird using the plastic utensils, getting trying to cut through that sausage.
It's a bit difficult. Like, you cut something.
And I was cutting my bread.
Your, okay. Well, I was going to say the fork's dirty, because that's my issue. Sometimes you go places and it's like a terrible, like the second you go, everything breaks apart. But yeah, maybe the knives are a little flimsy.
You don't want fork shards all in your food. You know?
They're definitely not unhefty. They're hefty. They're gonna cut through stuff, but it's a little bit of a struggle to get there. And one thing that is never really that much of a struggle to eat is the best for last, and that of course is dessert. So we didn't necessarily order individual desserts because that's just not how we roll on our crew.
We want it all, yo.
Yeah, you know, whenever you're dropping down Mad Skrilla for...
What up?
It's got to get brought up every time now. When you're dropping Mad Skrilla on these meals, you got to share the sweet stuff in the end. And we chose one of each dessert. Why not? And the first one we had, well, we kind of had them at different times. The first
one, before you talk about them specifically, I want to say this. So we ordered all of our stuff. You go up into the restaurant. You go up to your witch, and you order all your food at once.
Oh,
the drinks and everything. They give you the drinks. They give you the candlestick. You give the candlestick to another witch, and she...
Or wizard.
We're not
saying only
here.
Women need to do one job.
Yeah. And they take the candle. They give you a seat. Then they bring the stuff over to you. They bring everything at once. So...
If you
we
order,
had our food, which, you know, from the looks of it, it's not, we're not eating a light meal here.
No.
But one of the food had ice cream scooped on top of it. And since it's a warm treat, by the time we got to eat it, there was very little ice cream left on it. That's my only complaint.
That dessert was the sticky toffee pudding.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
It's a nice bread pudding with caramel and vanilla ice cream all just thrown on top. I mean,
caramel in there, yeah.
It looks good.
It was amazing.
This dessert is sex.
And we had it as a group in the Leaky
Cauldron. In terms of desserts at Diagon Alley itself, I mean, you have Florian Fortescue's ice cream, which
the best,
so
ice cream.
Amazing. But in terms of desserts at Leaky Cauldron, they have not come up with enough magnificent, marvelous words to describe this dessert yet. It just, you break it apart. As long as you get a nice big whip of caramel on there and you get that ice cream, which I actually prefer it being a little melted, not to the point that it melted like, when we had, got like, to
you don't
it.
Want ice cream soup,
like a,
though.
Like a tiny little dollop by the time we got to it. I love my ice cream. That's all I'm saying.
But my God, this dessert.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Someone should
win
an
award. By far the
best
one. Yeah. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
I don't really. I can't. We can't even talk about it too much more because
no. If someone wanted
angry,
to,
we don't have it right now.
If someone wanted to come up and just pour caramel in my mouth, I'd probably be okay with that until obesity and death. But before then, I would be just fine with it. Another dessert, which I think is number two, and on some days it might even be my number one dessert there, and that's the chocolate potted cream. Which, don't get too excited. It comes in a nice little mason jar, but it's essentially chocolate pudding with a little bit of black cherry sauce around.
It's so cute.
Yeah, like a mix in. I'm not a giant chocolate person myself. Like I
that good, because then you'd have to go to the doctor for giant chocolate disease.
Yeah. All right. That was weird.
I'm a giant person made out of chocolate.
What's that book where the kid used to touch everybody and then become chocolate? Anyway, regardless, that'll be in the show notes page.
Disunplug.com.
I didn't dislike it. Like, I liked the black cherry flavor in it, but it wouldn't be like, I would never probably have picked that one.
I mean,
very simple.
When I'm having my chocolate days where I really want chocolate, one of the things I go to at home is chocolate pudding. I'm a pudding guy.
Except for this isn't just chocolate, though. There definitely is a very distinct cherry flavor to it. Cherry chocolate.
Which, that's still good in my book.
Well, it is, but I'm saying you need to set your expectations for that, because if you're getting ready to take a bite of what you think is just chocolate, you're going to be a little bit surprised, because there's a bit of tart in there.
Good point. And the final dessert that you can try, and I know all of our favorites in our hearts, the Krenochen, or the Krenochen.
The Krenache?
How do we... The Krenachen?
Is it this thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's the last one. So, it, essentially... I don't know how to pronounce it. That's why we literally... It's a Krenache. That's why we literally ordered one of each dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Dessert. My son is also named Azor.
You know, I'm going to let someone else take the lead on this one, because apparently I can't talk
this
right
was
now.
Like just... Like, it's like a parfait, I would say. Yeah. My thing is it's raspberry whipped cream. I don't think there was cake in it. Angel food cake, maybe. I might be making that up. It was a little tart for my taste, and I love tart things. Like, I love lemon flavored things and everything, but it tasted a little artificially tart for me. That's all.
I believe it's their sugar free dessert, if I can remember.
Oh,
I didn't write it down in my notes.
It didn't taste like it was sugar-free.
Well, no sugar added, sorry.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting.
I always screw those up. I mean, it's
only the natural sugars.
Well, you screw those up, you're going to kill somebody. Well,
then they deserve to die.
Because they trusted you.
Decrease the surplus population.
All right, gang.
Survival of the fittest.
What a weird show.
Yeah. So that was our epic meal journey through Leaky Cauldron. And, I mean, if it didn't come off that way, I think we all absolutely recommend Leaky Cauldron in terms of the quality of the food.
Yeah.
Well, you guys certainly seem to enjoy them in these pictures here.
Well, yeah. So I think let's look at my picture of, and these will be in our show notes, but I would say that looks like satisfaction. There's Craig sucking back on his boba teas.
If you think he looks good there, wait till you see him eating the dessert.
Yeah. Dun, dun, which dun. I did not put in there. But then again, Rhino, I feel like he was a little overexcited about what he was getting himself into.
Okay.
I mean, God. He just kind of looked goofy, and
I'm about to shovel that food down my gullet.
Yeah.
I'm real excited about
Please
it.
Please tell me that you are not going to show any pictures of me.
Well, we're going to show a picture, but none of the offensive
ones.
Pictures that aren't good.
The
so.
NC-17.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
there we
not
go. There's
really
the PG.
Any better.
I didn't
Let's
have time
on.
To blur out the images to make it a little more age appropriate for some of our fans out there. Overall, if you can't tell from the pictures, though, which if you're listening, go look at them on the show notes. That's unplugged.com. Find Universal and the blue Universal Edition one, and that's where you're going to find out more information from the show and some of these pictures of the things we're talking about. We all absolutely enjoyed it, and the food is excellent. The price range goes from about $8.99 to the fisherman's pie is $14.99. The most expensive thing is the plowman's platter, and that's at $19.99.
That's a shareable thing.
But that's
thing,
a shareable
right?
thing, so you're going to want to do that. The desserts range from $4.49 to $6.99, and drinks are anywhere from really $4 to $6. So, and you can also, I forgot to completely mention, you can also get alcoholic beverages there. The two specialty brews in Diagon Alley are available there. And it's just, it's got everything for everyone.
It's really a great experience, yeah. guys.
And I gotta say, in terms of just beyond the food, because that's not the only thing to look at in a dining review, but also the team members inside, the service. Everyone was nice and friendly, extremely mm-hmm. polite.
Oh yeah, they were very themed too. Wasn't there a thing? Oh yeah, we were taking the pictures and she was like, "What are those?" Yeah,
very much in character.
We had our theming experience where I went toe to toe with our witch to theme a little bit about my
we
cell
had no
phone
muggles
taking cameras
off the street of London, son.
Yeah, we're not everyday people at Universal. She mm-hmm. tried to get us, but she didn't. But no, overall, everyone was great there. And in terms of cleanliness of the restaurant, I think you kind of brought up a good point about the forks and stuff too. Not in that so much that the forks weren't durable or whatever, but whenever you have those communal trays like that where people pull it off, I never really thought about the cleanliness factor of that you know, some people might go in and start getting their grubby little mitts on on your silverware, and it might be a little gross. I know I'm looking at JL, she's kind of our resident, is this gross or isn't it gross?
I thought you were just
as
gonna
far
say
as
something else.
That other people
sorry
can
I wasn't
be
listening to you.
That's called
I'm
karma.
A little OCD about silverware, and I would say that I've never really given it a second thought there.
Okay.
There's nothing in that restaurant that makes me think like I'm not okay just grabbing it there.
Then never mind. Overall it was relatively clean.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, I had thought about saying this earlier and then I didn't. When I was talking about it having a feel of being really, really old, along with that comes a look of being grungy, but at the same time there's nothing grungy and dirty about this restaurant.
Yeah, we saw a team member literally sweeping and cleaning up the entire time mm-hmm. we were there. Mm-hmm. She just kept going and going and going like an Energizer bunny.
I think somebody bust our table. No, I was too afraid to leave the stuff.
Yeah, they will bust your table. Feel free to leave your food behind. But we did get up and bust our own table just because, you know, I have arms and legs and feet. I can easily do that myself. So if you are capable of doing it, then
I always
recommend it.
I like to do it.
You're just making it easier for other people that have to work long, hard days and mm-hmm. sometimes put up with a lot of crap. And then environment in general. You're in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. Can't beat that place. It could get very noisy in there whenever it's extremely busy.
Yes, I would say that because if it's so big and open and those ceilings, the acoustics of it, I would think that there would be a lot of echoing going on when the volume gets raised in there. Yeah.
And if you don't want to eat there for a lunch dinner time like we did too, they do offer breakfast there as well, which is a bit on the overpriced side, I would say. All their entrees are $15.99.
I think it's just regular stuff too. It's nothing exciting.
It's not great, honestly. I've eaten breakfast there multiple times now, and I would just say it's average, but we're not doing a review on the breakfast. I just wanted to mention that they did have it. Maybe we'll do it one day. And they also do have a kids menu if your kids aren't that adventurous, and it's a good place where they can get macaroni and cheese, fish and chips. So Leaky Cauldron, it's got something for everyone. I think we all give it a highly recommended, or at least absolutely, a recommended.
Oh no, I'm going high.
High,
way up top. I'm top floor.
Yeah. Best quick service you can get at Universal, and maybe even the best quick service you can get in Orlando in a theme park.
Ooh, maybe that's a head-to-head coming.
I don't know.
I wanted to say real quick, yes, the book I was talking about was called The Chocolate Touch by Patrick Skeen Catling.
Good. I'm glad that we could get that out there.
I had to look it up. It was bothering me.
So that is our review of Leaky Cauldron at the Wizarding World of Potter Diagon Alley inside Universal Studios Florida. So before we go, just want to wrap up with a little bit of those kind of send outs to what you need to be doing in the meantime. So you just listened to this episode. If you haven't subscribed to us on iTunes yet, go ahead and subscribe to us on iTunes. Review us on iTunes. Give us a number. Say bad things about us. We don't care. If you say bad things, we're only going to get better. Do the same thing on YouTube. Hit that thumbs up if you like it. If you don't like it, hit that thumbs down. And if you hit the thumbs down, one day YouTube's going to reveal what you're actually doing with that, and then we're going to come and mock you. So keep that in mind as well. Always feel free to send us an email. It is uopodcast@disunplug.com, and you're going to find that and all of our other emails and any information you could ever want at disunplugged.com. That's where you find our show notes, as I've talked about throughout this show. Just look for the blue universal one, and you can also get to the contact page through disunplugged.com. /contact, and that's where you'll be able to send us more emails or leave a voicemail, which don't know if we've gotten any recently. I guess I just realized that I don't have access to those if anyone ever leaves them. So if you've been sending it and you're just pulling your hair out, like, why in the hell isn't he's just ignoring my voicemail?
He hates me.
Because I currently don't have access, so I might have Dustin do a little digging to find out if it wants to ever come
in. Doesn't listen to anybody.
Just give you the password.
Or he can just give me the password. That would also work out. Yeah, and just, you know, if you like what we're doing, give us that awesome feedback because, well, that's the only way we can improve or get worse, I guess, is knowing our flaws, strengths, weaknesses. But at the end of the day, we appreciate everything and everyone out there who actually is giving us a chance and watching, listening, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. That's going to do it for that ding in this current episode. But, ding, but... just in general, that's going to also do it for this episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. We will be back next week with another episode, but until then, take care, goodbye, see you later, this, that, all that crap. Watch us later. Or listen. Whatever.